But this morning I want to begin with a little trivia. And the trivia I want to bring before you is, name a king of Judah whose name and actions was predicted almost 300 years prior to his coming. Name that king. Don't look at anything. Name that king. If you name Josiah, you are correct. Some of you got it right in front of you and can't name that king. But name the passage where he was predicted. And this is your homework this evening. 2 Chronicles 34, verses 1 and 2, I bring to your attention. 2 Chronicles 34, 1 and 2. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David, his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Just after the kingdom of Israel was divided, an unknown prophet confronted Jeroboam, the first king of the breakaway 10 tribes, who led Israel into idolatry. We read in 1 Kings 13, where it was predicted, verses 1 and 2. Behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall he burn upon thee. Very familiar words, a child will be born. By the way, you should have a clue of who Josiah represents. 290 years later, Josiah was appointed king and carried out this prophecy to the letter. What an amazing comfort to know that every word of God will be fulfilled in time. Every word. Today I want to speak about the great discovery. This is the title of our message, The Great Discovery. History is filled with those who made great discoveries. And those discoveries are extremely beneficial to mankind. We have learned in our textbooks that Benjamin Franklin discovered electricity. We learned later that Con Edison discovered the light bulb. We've learned these things in school, in grammar school. Today you and I can flip a light switch and your homes can be lighted up. We were also told that Christopher Columbus discovered the New World as a boy. When everybody was telling Columbus, you're going to fall off the world. The world is flat. Everyone was making fun at Columbus, even though some question if he discovered the New World. But he proved all of them wrong. More recent, about 100 years ago, we are told that Dr. Alexander Fleming discovered the drug penicillin. We all benefit from these discoveries by human pioneers. It was not that these things were not there. They didn't create anything. All they did was to acknowledge what was already created by God. My attention is drawn to King Josiah, who became a changed man because of a great discovery. Just like we heard this morning about the apostle 10 years into his reign, he began a thorough purging of the idolatry he inherited. Josiah had the right perspective about reforming Judah, but he had not received a personal hearing or reading from the book of the law. After his discovery was made, there was a wonderful difference in this man and in Judah. All of the gains accomplished by Hezekiah, we read of him, were lost during a 55-year reign of his grandfather, Manasseh. And by the way, I made a mistake some weeks ago when I say, and I hope you picked it up, but I apologize, you may not even know, when I said that Uzziah was the longest reigning king of 52. Here I was corrected. Manasseh reigned for 55 years. So those of you who are critiquing me, I apologize and I make the correction. But Josiah inherited idolatry and he brought reformation. But it was too little, too late. God's mind was already made up to judge Judah. And what we may be doing here may be too little, too late. It did not change the course of judgment that was imminent. You can read about Josiah in 3 chapters. What impact does these verses and these chapters in 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings have on us and in our church today? What impact should this have on our lives today? It should show us how spiritual gains can be lost quickly at the disappearance of a man. Spiritual gains can dissipate quickly. But it should show us how the Word of God can still have an effect and an impact on our lives today. It is impossible for me to cover everything about this king as you notice the shift that I have taken over these weeks. I will only select 3 meaningful observations that I believe is profitable for God's people today. And I begin first with the great discovery. As I have said before, Josiah had all good intentions in repairing the house of God. He sent to the priest Hilkiah for funds to deliver to the workmen to do the work. But in the process, Hilkiah the priest discovered the law of Moses. Manasseh, the wicked king, had disrespected the law, never upheld it. King Manasseh, his grandfather, had long displaced the law because he had no uses for it in his reign. And this shows how one generation, children, Nathaniel, Enoch, it shows how one generation can quickly forget God's word. Quickly. We read in 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 15. And Hilkiah answered and said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. This individual, Shaphan, of course, was a trusted scribe that Josiah depended on. He did what was right by carrying the book of the law to the king, Josiah. We read in verses 18 and 19. Then Shaphan, the scribe, told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest have given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law, You rent his clothes? Josiah discovered the law of the Lord for himself. It was not that the law of God was lost. It was rejected by past predecessors. It was ignored. It was disobeyed. King Josiah at a young age reacted from this great discovery. Verse 19 says that when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. A king was not supposed to do that. You remember the king of Nineveh did the same thing. When he heard, in 3 days, this place will be destroyed. I wish people today in our church would be like this. I wish that I would have a deeper respect for God's word and for God's people. He responded in repentance. He tore his clothes. It was a symbol of grief and heartfelt sorrow. He saw how far removed he and his people were from the ways of God. His heart became tender, as we read on, soft. God promised that he would not see the destruction of Judah, that he would die in peace because of how he responded to God's word. It's a great lesson. When you or I truly discover the word of God and respond in this manner, you and I can die in peace. Some of you are jokers. Jokers. I am not speaking of someone who find an old copy of the Bible somewhere. This is not the discovery that I'm speaking about. You know, you can dig up your books and find a Bible. This is not the discovery I'm speaking of. Anyone can pick up a copy of God's word and read it. I am speaking of discovering the word of God in an understanding way where the word smashes our wills and our consciences and our hearts. That's the discovery I'm talking about. That's rare. Lord said in Isaiah 66, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. God don't look at a good preacher or a good deacon or a good housewife. He looked at your attitude towards the gospel. Some people have a bad attitude. You talk to them about the gospel, and it would always tear your head off. Reformation begins at the core of our being. When we believe Reformation, we will die for it. We will die for it. I will die for it. And I am willing to lose your friendship for it. Discovering the book is like finding a treasure like Jesus spoke about. Matthew 13. Kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, that which men, when a man have found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he have. He buys that field. Give up his life for that treasure. You can make what you want of this parable, but the word of God is a treasure hidden from many. When we find that treasure, it is worth our lives. Have you discovered the treasures found in the scriptures? Have you found those glorious doctrines of the Christian faith? Have you found that salvation is by grace alone, through faith, through Christ alone? Or are you following those idols you have inherited from Manasseh? I had inherited some of those idols here at this church. Yet up to now, many people, most of our people, haven't seen those idols. Have you discovered that God requires all of you, not part of you? Have you required that? Have you discovered that? I mean, if you haven't, you have not discovered the book. Word of God is a great treasure. Have you discovered that God is to be worshipped according to the book? I want to know these things. I want to lay these things to you to show you where you stand in Reformation. And I want you men to know it too. Have you discovered that Christ is to be glorified in your home, in your pocket? Have you discovered who are called to worship Christ and how we are to worship Him? This is the discovery that I'm talking about today. This man that is set before us as an example. But notice something else, point number two. Josiah's faithful delivery. We read in verse 29, then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up into the house of the Lord and all the men of Judah. Verse 30, the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. First, Josiah gathered all the leadership. And that's where you begin Reformation. You call all the deacons and the elders together. All the men of Judah, all the people, he called a national Bible conference and read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was discovered. He was comprehensive in his delivery. He wasn't choosy. Revelation is for all sorts of people, great and small, women and men. He became responsible for what he had read in the book and what he heard. Today there is a covenant to be followed, not the old covenant of works, but the covenant of grace. Not a covenant of grace plus works, but a covenant of grace alone. In order to make a faithful delivery, we must first discover the doctrines for ourselves. Some of you haven't discovered these doctrines. You monkey around. You fail to make applications. You're scratching the surface. Apostle Paul exhorted Titus, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in the faith, in charity. This word charity is love. Yes, that's part of the doctrines, love. We are short, we are unkind to one another. We don't love one another. It's part of the doctrines. Patience. Aged women likewise, that they be in behavior that become of holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Why? That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Not one of you men can say that I don't teach you to love your wife and your children. You come wrong me long enough. You know that is one of my hallmarks. How is your wife? How is John today? How is Doris? How's she doing? How is Jeanette? How is Sandrine? But I want to know. Some of us don't want to know. Not enough to simply make this great discovery, the word, the book. We are called to make a faithful delivery of that word. In our modern day, so little of the word of God is read in churches. I went into one church, and the word of God wasn't read. And I said to the minister, you know, brother, you should be reading more of the word of God than you're singing. You need to drop these choruses. A lot of people are going to stop listening to me. But that's fine. You need to drop those choruses. Read the word. In our modern day, more time is given to music and fluff, announcements, pageant shows coming up. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, "For I have delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, discovered, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And he was buried." You know, I'm glad I get to this too. Today you hear people talking about space in the ground and they want their bodies cremated. I don't think that that's a wise thing for Christians to do. How come all of a sudden we are so worried about space on the ground? We are told that Elisha was died and was buried. We're told that Jesus, our example, died and was buried. Not burnt. If he was burnt, you and I wouldn't have no assurance of the resurrection. Yet, these Christians that are much more knowledgeable than me talk about space on the ground. We need to read our Bibles. He rose the third day. We need to have this great discovery in our churches. We need to have a personal discovery of God's word. We also need to make a faithful delivery of the book. We ought to do this if we are teaching at any level. One of the great pluses Josiah had in his ministry was the prophet. And I would question you, who was that prophet? Show us how slow we are in understanding the Bible. People know how to fit the new gig on WhatsApp and Instagram. People in the church, they don't know their Bibles. Jeremiah ministered in Josiah's days. And he said, "He who has my word, let him preach my word faithfully." You know, in our culture, people have a very low tolerance for hearing God's word. Very low. These same ones can sit under a Netflix movie for 2 hours. And some of you are doing it. You got a lot of time. How many Netflix movies you have rented? But I'm talking to you. Oh yeah, you got your stash of Netflix. But when it comes to the word of God, 10 or 15 minutes is their quota. Our church is going nowhere with this mentality. I call attention to a third observation as I hurry on. Show you this great discovery. Faithful delivery. But don't go by your notes. Because I change at any time. Josiah's practical duty. Practical duty. Verse 31. King stood in his place, made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul. And this is, by the way, Josiah is just obeying the command of God. This is what he's supposed to do. To perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. Josiah began with himself to live to the glory of his God, to be obedient to his law with all his heart, with all his soul. Unless there is individual reformation, we are but wasting time in this church. Unless there are practical steps made in your life, in our personal lives to change, there's really no change. Practical things that I find out we don't want to do. You want to say how much we know? I ain't listening to that. Don't make it hard for me to listen to you when you stand up here. Sometimes it becomes practically impossible to listen to someone who can't get the practical things done. You don't see that with your pastor. He's not a perfect man. Or we can call others to duty. We ourselves must perform that duty. Josiah was the first to appropriate the word that was discovered. Verse 32, and he calls all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. You see, leaders are not soft wimps. If you're looking for one, you can get one like that. Verse 33, and Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertain to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of Israel. This man was thorough. God used him. God helped them. It can happen. There are a few things that were impressed upon me in this historical information that I've shared. I will give it to you quickly. It's just a bonus. One, revelation is important. Not any revelation, but God's revelation. The Bible is important. Work and worship to God is directed in the Bible. Second, you can learn from this passage, transformation. It is vital. Transformation is vital in obeying what we hear. This is what took place in Josiah's life. And third, very simple, proclamation. Can't go any further with this today. Proclamation is our duty if we are obeying God. Josiah did what Ezra described today, and I quote it to you. I misquoted it to you guys yesterday. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments, many of our people just would not come around. Would not come around. You might be one of them, or some of them wouldn't come around. These are the observations we have chosen to bring from the life of this man. It's just a summary of the life of a good man, a king that was predicted 300 years before he came. Josiah is not the only king that was predicted centuries before his birth. There's one greater than was Josiah. He was predicted, and as a matter of fact, he is predicted in all the prophets. He should come to our minds right away. Josiah, his name means Jehovah heals. The Bible tells us that our Josiah came with healing in his wings. He came to heal our souls. Josiah was predicted to burn men's bones on the altar of Jeroboam. Jesus was predicted to judge the quick and the dead. You see how we dovetail, Brother Colin? We have one greater than Josiah. Josiah made a big boo-boo. He took on the politicians to teach us a lesson. Don't get involved in politics in here. Let God be the judge. Whoever he put for his reason. Whether to bring judgment or to bring blessing, keep out of it as a Christian. Centuries before Jesus came to earth, his mission was predicted. The scriptures tell us that he came to the synagogue and found a book that was lost. The Jewish religion had the law, but it might have well been lost. You know that for a fact. Just as the book was lost in the days of Manasseh, it was lost in the era of the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus came to the synagogue and it was given to him a book. Know the text. He read from that book and he said that he came to preach the gospel. The Bible says he closed the book and he gave it to the minister and sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." That's the real Josiah who brought reformation. Our blessed Savior also opened the book to his disciples, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them things concerning himself. He delivered to us the book, the psalm that you read. "I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest." Hundreds of years before he came. "I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation." That's my aim. But let us not forget that our great Savior, he have called us to duty. He declared, "Whoever hear these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which builds his house on a rock." That's a call to duty. all Josiah did was to prefigure what the coming Savior would do. All Josiah is showing us is what every faithful man of God would do and what any faithful church would seek to do. Christian, we must discover the book. We must deliver the book. But we must fulfill its duty. That's what Reformation is. Bible is not lost. It just needs to be followed in our lives and in our churches today. It is man who is lost. It is you who are yet lost. Today the Bible has become a lost book in many homes, in many churches. It shouldn't be this way. If my wife had lost her Bible and they used to read it, I would be concerned. I would go to her. Honey, what happened to your Bible reading? Some of you dare not do it. You're scared. No wonder the church is like that. Bible is not lost. Today the Bible has become a lost book. In many churches and in many homes, we live in the electronic age. We got school chat, church chat, and all kinds of chat. There are many versions of the Bible at our fingertips. But when you ask men about the nature and the character of salvation, they don't know. When you visit their churches, their worship is something out of Hollywood. Rihanna beat. They follow men. You know anything about the Protestant Reformation? The famous Martin Luther was once a Roman Catholic monk. He discovered the book in the year 1517. He parted ways with this error of Catholicism. Not many of you read about it. I bet you read about Rihanna. I bet you read about this man in Minnesota. You're well furnished. Luther said to the hierarchy at Rome, and it is documented often, you can pick up any book. I got one on that I'm reading right now. My conscience is held captive to the word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. So help me God. Oh yeah. This is the discovery I'm talking to you about today. From this historical figure, he was not a perfect man, came what is called the Protestant Reformation. Today many have drifted away from the truths of the Bible. Let us recapture those doctrines of grace. Individually, you need to discover what God is saying to you in the book. The preacher is just a spokesman. You need to respond as Josiah. As a group of professing believers at this church, we need to practice what is written in the Bible. Some of you, over the last 3 months, may have sanitized once or twice. Is this your judgment of God? Who are you kidding? Who are you kidding? Have you discovered the book? We can't avert judgment. It will come. But we can be sure of God's blessing on our lives, like Josiah and his people, for a period. When we consider the age of this man, this young man, and what he did, we can truly admire his courage. He waited patiently in agony as he saw the ruin of God's worship. And here we see his urgency in bringing reform to his nation, to his church. We can draw from this last good king in Judah, who instilled a new order in Judah. We can learn from this history that God has given a standard. I don't know if you see this, of right and wrong. In 2 Chronicles 34:2, the scripture says, Josiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. I read that. Even though Josiah had not yet in his early days discovered the book, it was no excuse for him not doing that which was right. He had a standard. He had David as his model. He knew all about David. He heard all about David. Not Solomon. Not his grandfather Manasseh. Not his father Amnon. But the good King David. He went all the way back to a standard. You and I have a standard before, set before us. Christ. Not these reformers. Not Luther. Christ. We don't have to know all the intricacies of the faith. We need to know the Lord of the faith, Christ Jesus, our Savior. Once you have come to know him, he will give you a heart to follow him. He will give you that heart, that longing to love your brethren, to love the truth, to love missions, to love purity of worship. He'll give you that. Second, we can learn that at times we may be called to stand alone. I learned that, and I'm still learning it. To stand alone means that you may be the only one who are standing on godly principles. In your effort to be faithful, you may have to learn. You may be called to stand alone. Today, you hear some saying, my father and my mother were this, or were in this denomination, or in the next denomination, so I am staying the course. I was brought up in this setting, so I am staying the course. Josiah's father had drifted from the truth. Drifted. Apostatized. But he was determined to reinforce the truth. You can learn from this. He cleansed the house. He cleaned house. And instilled biblical reforms, worship. The problem with some is that we don't have any courage. What my wife might say. What my children might say. What my friends might say. No courage, weak men. Our Lord said, he who confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father and the angels in heaven. He who denies me before men in this wicked world, him I will deny before my Father. So I lay these things out because what I am saying today is a lot of hypocrisy. I am not a perfect guy. I give my wife trouble. I don't listen sometimes. She knows. But she know at the end of the day, her husband loves her. I'm wanting the best for her in serving God. This is what you and I can draw from this message. This great discovery. The third lesson that is vital to us that I'll close with. We all are accountable to God for what is revealed from the book. You sit here and you go home and you're going to be the same way. The law of God is meant to bring us to Christ. Josiah responded favorably. He ripped his clothes. Remember what he did when he heard the word of God brought to him by a subordinate, one less than him. The problem with us, some of you think that you're somebody in here, but you ain't nobody until you are performing the duty of reformation. Symbol of repentance. Though this man followed the right pattern, he saw his imperfections. Tells me that we should always be reforming. Always. And that word can mean two ways. In all ways, we should be reforming. But we should be always. Tomorrow, we ain't arrived, we should be reforming. But in all ways, how you treat people, part of reformation. Some of us ain't doing a very good job at all. Always be ready to go a step further. Holiness, glorifying God. 6:30 tonight, I'll see you. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, thank you for the strength. Thank you for the knowledge that derives from your Son, your Word, who promised to guide us into all truth. Take your Word, use it to the glory of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.